Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. You're about to hear a message that's part of a series called Free and Clear. We are all in bondage or slavery to things that keep us from experiencing the blessed life that God wants for us. God wants us to be free from the things that have control in our life, and He's provided a way to freedom. May God bless you as you listen and choose freedom. If you'd like to know more about Pantano Christian Church or join us for weekend services, check us out at pccwired.org. You know, we have so many among us who've experienced what it means to be free and clear. We're doing a short series talking about being free and clear of all the stuff that holds us in bondage. And we're going to celebrate that for the next this week and three more weeks after that. Today we're going to look at spiritual debt. You know, what we saw on that, the CR testimonies there, folks who are a part of our Celebrate Recovery, is that, you know, there are the bondages that we get into that are related to alcohol and drugs and sexual addiction and the need for approval. And then some of us are in slavery and in bondage to things like our past, to fear, worry. Some of us are in bondage and slavery to things that seem more okay and acceptable. We're in bondage to success, to money, to control. But we're still all in bondage, to some degree, in some way, every single one of us. I want to paint for you a really clear principle that's found all throughout Scripture. It's described in different ways, but it's a principle that we see over and over, and that it begins that we all find ourselves in some kind of debt. It can be a debt to a person, it can be financial, it can be a debt to God, but we're all in some kind of debt. And when we're in debt, the result is that we are in bondage and slavery. That means there is a master over us. Someone else now rules our life, or something rules our life. And therefore, we're not free anymore. We've lost the thing that we all, especially as Americans, treasure. We've lost a sense of freedom. We're no longer able to be the kind of people we want to be, do the kinds of things that we want to do, the things that we know that God wants us to do, and we've lost a huge element of freedom. It begins with debt. You know, there's a really simple definition of debt. Debt is that I have an obligation to pay. Okay? Putting it in its most simple form, I owe. I love that old bumper sticker. I owe, it's off to work I go, right? We all owe. We all owe somebody or something. And we're in debt. I want us to look the next 2 weeks. We're going to look at spiritual debt this morning, and the next week we're going to look at financial debt. And when we look at both of those, I want to look at four questions to look at both of those ideas. And the first question is this: how did I get into debt? How did I get into spiritual debt? And then second, who and what do I owe? I'm in debt. Who and what do I owe? What does that cost me? What's the damage? What's the loss that happens because I'm in debt? And then, most importantly, how do I get out of debt? How do I get free and clear so that I don't live in the debt, in the bondage, in the slavery anymore? So those are the four questions we're going to look at. Now, when we talk about debt, I want this just to emblazon this in your brain. Any kind of debt destroys. Any kind of debt destroys. It robs us of God's blessing. It in some way has the power to ruin our lives. Debt is an incredibly powerful thing that can only keep us in curse. We just finished a 9-week summer series talking about God's quest to bless. And debt is one of those things that keeps us in curse and keeps us from experience the fullness of life that God wants us to experience. And because when we're in debt, we're in bondage, we lose freedom. Freedom to be the people that God wants us to be, to do the things that God wants us to do. Even when we want to, sometimes we can't because we are slaves to a power that we've given ourselves over to that's greater than ourselves. And we stay in that bondage. And I say all these things to say that's why we're talking about this. This is such a serious issue in all of our lives that we have to speak to it, and we've got to look at it square in the face and deal with it. And so that's what we're going to do the next this week and three more weeks. Spiritual debt is what we're going to focus on. Now let's go look at what the Apostle Paul says about this. And I'm going to read this Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. I'd like to read it from the New Century Bible. I doubt that any of you have a copy of the New Century Bible version. You're free to look at it in the NIV that's in the Bibles that are in front of you. But what you'll discover in the NIV is that Paul uses some technical and religious language that's not real easy to figure out. And so the New Century Bible does an accurate job of translating that technical religious language into language that we can understand. And so what we'd find in this passage in Colossians chapter 2 is that Paul answers those four questions about debt, about spiritual debt. And in an incredibly powerful passage. And so I'll put this on the screen because this is a version that you all don't have access to. But let's take a look at this in Colossians chapter 2. When you were spiritually dead because of your sins, and because you were not free from the power of your sinful self. Wow. Because we were not free from the power of our sinful self, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. He canceled the debt, which listed all the rules we failed to follow. He took away that record with its rules and nailed it to the cross. Wow. Let's take a look at that. Let's look at those four questions from Paul's perspective. How do we get into debt? Answered it real simply, sin. You know, in another place, Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we all have sinned, have we not? And have missed God's ideal. We've fallen short of God's glory. We've all sinned. Now, Paul in Colossians 2 says it in a powerful way. He says that we all have been captive in bondage to the power of the sinful self. What is sin? What is the sinful self? It's all about us putting ourselves first. Is it not? Me first. I know the right way. I trust myself more than. I'm going to do it this way. I want this for me. Regardless, ultimately, of what God wants. We are hopelessly in bondage to selfishness. Are we not? Do we not think of ourselves first? Is anyone in here can say that I always think of God first? We are under this power of the sinful self. That's what really rules our life. And when we're at an honest place, we go, God, I'm in bondage. I'm a slave to this thing called self. And with it, all of its habits and hang-ups and all the hurts that result because of that. You have before you in your seats a card. I'd like you to pull it out. It's a little postcard. It's white. It says, my sins nailed to the cross. And I want you to do something right now. There are pens also in the seats in front of you. And I want you to write down on this card, don't put your name, no names, okay? I actually have cameras up there, so I'll read them all later, but no names. I want you to write down a sin or some sins. Don't write a book. We don't need a book. That are just so obvious to you. That you sense have you under control. That you have difficulty being free from. That are burdensome to you. Frustrating to you. They may be sins that everybody else knows about. They may be a secret sin that nobody knows about. I want you to write down one or more on there. And I want to give you just a couple minutes, because I know some of us don't multitask. It's hard to listen to me talk and do this. So I'm just going to take a few moments of quietness, and I want you to think through, what are the things that just are keeping me in bondage, that I'm so tired of, that keep me from being the person that God wants me to be? Keep me from experiencing blessing. Take a minute just to write that down. I'm going to give you some more time if you still need to think about that. And in a few moments, we're going to collect those cards. And I'll tell you what we'll do with those in just a few moments. So you got some time. Don't be in a rush to finish those. Second question. We'll collect them in just a little bit. Who and what do we owe? Who and what do we owe? Second question. We owe God. Think of the universe as this huge spiritual bank, okay? You and I have overdrawn our bank account, our spiritual bank account. We owe God big time, huge debt, huge. Okay, if you could go online and check your spiritual bank account, ouch, somebody said, ouch. It'd be bad news, okay? Here's two ways in which we owe God and what it is that we owe Him. First of all, our sin, our debt, cost God His very own Son. I followed Jesus for 35 years, and I still can't fully comprehend how much that cost God. My selfishness, my junk, my bad choices cost God His precious Son. That's what our debt cost. But there's a second thing that I don't think we talk enough about. A huge thing that we owe God, and that's our lives. You see, God created us. We talked about this all summer. God created us for His purposes. Did He not? God didn't just create us so that He'd have a lot of trouble, which He does. He created us because He wanted to use us to bless His creation, and that includes the greatest of His creation, His people. He created us for a purpose. And when we have followed our own selfish ways, we have stolen our lives from God. Have you ever thought of it that way? When you have chosen to do life your way, you have stolen, you have hijacked your life from God, and it always belonged to Him. My abilities, my talents, my time, my energy, my passions, all of that belongs to God. My money, everything belongs to Him, and I've hijacked it for my purposes. And then what's happened is, all that God had desired and planned for me has been lost. Serving myself instead of serving Him. Huge hijack. Now, if you were to go online and check your spiritual bank account, it would be -$1 trillion. And there's no way to put an actual price tag on our sin, our debt. But you know what? I figure it's got to be 13 digits at least. There's a few in here that make six digits. You might know somebody who makes seven digits, but there's none of us that are going to get to 13. That's how huge the debt is. One that we can never repay. What's the damage and loss? That's pretty obvious. Because we've chosen our way instead of God's way, we've separated ourselves from God. We've lost that intimate connection that He desires. And we've lost His blessing. Not that He's withdrawn it, but we've chosen not to live in it. And that's what we've talked about. We have chosen to live in curse instead of blessing. That's what we've lost. So how do we get out of debt? That's the important thing. You know, if I stopped right here, some of you think, man, I'm back in Catholic school. I'm feeling bad. You know, this is bad news, and it is. It's exactly what it is. It's bad news. How are we going to pay back a $1 trillion debt? That ain't going to happen. What we're tempted to do, and let me talk about how we can't repay that, but we're tempted to go down this road. And what we're tempted to do is figure out a way to pay it back. Okay, I owe $1 trillion. Man, I got to get busy. I got a lot of time to make up for. And what we do is we try to follow what I call the religious path. Now understand what I mean by religion. Religion is that I am going to do enough good things. I'm going to do the right things, the good things. I'm going to get gooder, bad English. And then I'm going to whittle away at this debt. You'll never get there. You'll wear yourself out. Religion is about doing the right things, trying to be the right kind of person on your own effort, and you're not going to get there. You'll never get a 13-digit income. Promise. Even that lottery's not going to help you. Okay, a little luck. There's only one option. Mercy. I love the parable that Jesus told when there was a Pharisee and a tax collector, and the tax collector's praying, "Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner." That's our only hope. Is that the one who owns the spiritual bank account will cancel the debt. Did you get that? Our only hope is that God will cancel the debt so that you go on your spiritual account online and you see the debt has been canceled. Wow. Don't expect that from Visa or MasterCard. Okay? It's only through Jesus' sacrifice that God will cancel the debt. That is our only shot. That's it. Let's go back and look at this passage. He, God, forgave all our sins. All our sins. Nothing excluded. He canceled the debt. You know, that debt, just like any debt, listed all of our obligations, all the laws and rules and religious things that we failed to do. He canceled it. He took that record away and He put it in a spiritual shredder. He took the record of all of our sins and it's gone. Nobody can piece that record together anymore. It's shredded. And He nailed it to the cross. And what does that mean? He sent His Son to this cross, who was nailed to the cross, and in doing so, nailed all of our sin to that cross. Jesus was the one who took away all of that sin so that God could cancel the debt, forgive all of our sins, and it's gone. That is incredible. So our option is to nail it to the cross. And so I'd like you right now to take your cards and I want you to just pass them to your right, and our ushers are going to pick those up. If you're a little embarrassed by what's on there, fold it. So that guys at the end, you're not reading through them and looking back down the road. Oh, that's you. Turn them just to the right, and we are going to nail these to the cross, symbolic of what Jesus actually did for us. Jesus, as he was nailed to the cross, took each and every one of the things that you wrote on that piece of paper, and it was nailed to the cross. Put in a spiritual shredder, totally removed, never to be thought of or referred to or referenced again. Gone, gone, gone. Amen? Amen. When Jesus was on the cross, his very last words, which he cried out, his very last words were, "It is finished." He finished the work. When he said, "It is finished," what he was saying was, "I have finished all that's necessary to cancel the debt." The debt is canceled when we choose to seek mercy through Jesus Christ. When we ask him to remove the consequences of our sin. When we choose to follow him. And when we ask him for his mercy and accept it and receive it, then we're free. Folks, think about this. We are free from all the consequences of all of our sin. In every way. We are free from the condemnation of all that we've done wrong. We are free from the negative voices, not only from the evil one who wants to rob us of our blessing, but we're free from all the negative voices of the people in our lives. We're free from our past. We're free from the need of the approval of those around us so that we can truly do what God wants. We're free from the hurts and the offenses of others that we've experienced throughout our life, some that we actually like to carry. We're free from that. We're free from the need to have to medicate ourselves because there's one who unconditionally loves us and doesn't condemn us for all of the stuff we've messed up with. We're free. And every hammer sound reminds us that we are free. Free and clear. What a gift. By the way, go check out your spiritual count. Zero. Zero, and it will never grow. It'll never get bigger. It'll always be canceled. The way that we experience the canceled debt is what I call the Matthew 6:12 prayer. Matthew chapter 6 has what we call the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. You know what's on, you know, and most of us are familiar with the Lord's Prayer. But you know, in the middle of that Lord's Prayer, verse 12, Jesus says this, "Forgive us our debts." Interesting that that word is used. "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." When Jesus gave us the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, it was a prayer that was to be prayed constantly. Some of us have this idea that all I had to do was one time pray that God would forgive me and I was done. It's a constant experience with God. Constantly going back and saying, "God, I know what you've done for me. Forgive me of my debts." And that we live in that awareness that he's forgiven us our debts. We have to daily live in that experience. Because if we don't, the evil one's going to remind us of how much in debt we are. And then don't miss the second line of that what I call the, you know, this debt prayer. As we also have forgiven our debtors. I knew there was a catch somewhere. The fine print finally showed up. Now, it's not that now Jesus has gotten religious. Okay, you can be forgiven if you do the right things. That's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about is that if you have so experienced the total cancellation of your sin debt, and you've felt that in your heart, then how can you not extend that to others? If God has forgiven all the ugliness in you, things that most people can't even see, right? Then how can you not forgive that one or two or three things that you've seen in somebody else? And the second part of that just reminds us that we really have to experience the cancellation of our debt. It's got to be real. So we can choose freedom. It's our choice. It's offered, we can choose it. And it begins by simply accepting the gift of a canceled spiritual debt. If you're here this morning and you have never made the decision to say, I want the gift that's offered me through Jesus Christ. I want my sins forgiven, past, present, and future. Forever. I want to follow Jesus with all of my heart so that I can live in that experience. I want to encourage you to make that decision. The sooner the better. It's the most significant decision you'll make. And make it really clear. There is no way out of our spiritual debt except through Jesus. His forgiveness. There's no other way. So it's a critical decision that we have to make. And some of you are at that point and saying, you know what, I'm ready to now make the commitment to the Lord that I'm going to follow Him with all my heart for all my life. And we're going to do another baptism again this morning. And I know some people are here prepared to do that. If you're ready to say, I'm ready to put my old ways away. I'm ready to kill them. I'm ready to die to them. Putting me first all the time. That's what's symbolized in baptism, as you go into the water and you're dying in this water, this grave that's made of water, not dirt. And you come out of that water to start anew, this time following Jesus in His grace and gift, not your perfection. But now you've got somebody to guide you. And you choose to follow Him. So if you've come this morning and are ready to be baptized, if you have decided even right now you want to be baptized, the wands are going to be here at the Connection Cafe. Go ahead and stand up there, wands. And if you would just go right now and don't be embarrassed. I know several of you have talked about that this morning. Just go with the wands and we'll prepare and do that at the end of our service. So if you're here this morning and want to make that decision and be baptized, do that right now. Then I want to encourage you to embrace freedom, spiritual freedom. Now, what do I mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. We are free in grace. And I want to go back to Romans 8:1. I know I've shared this with you before. It is one of the most significant verses in my life. It's a verse I think every Christian ought to memorize. Here's what Romans 8:1 says. There is now, right now, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Do you notice how short that is? It's easy to memorize. There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. The evil one will want to condemn you moment by moment, day by day. But in Christ, those of us who have chosen to be in Christ, to follow His way, there's no condemnation. It's gone. And we need to live like that. There is no one, the God of the universe, who deeply loves us, who controls our future. He says, no condemnation. The debt's gone. I don't see anything negative. He's not frowning at us all the time for all the ways we mess up. Isn't that not how we think? Oh, there they go again. No, smiling at us. No condemnation. See, we're free. And we need to live like we're free. You know, one of the shocking things for me about human nature, I saw it firsthand when we went to the Soviet Union, and while we were there, the Ukraine declared independence. They wanted freedom. Really, for the first time in their long history, in 1991, they declared their independence and they won their freedom. And what shocked me was, after centuries of being in bondage, not just to the Soviets, but to the Lithuanians and the Poles and the Mongols and their whole history, they'd been in bondage, that now for the first time they had freedom and they did not know how to live in freedom. They lived as if they were still under communism. How is that? We do the same thing. We act as if we're not free. We get on ourselves, we beat ourselves up, we live in shame, and we're free. We're free to be the people that God wants us to be. And may we learn to live in that freedom. And one of the ways we do that is we reject religion and choose relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's not about all that I need to do and can do and should do. It's what I want to do because I'm in love with Jesus. Because I'm getting to know Him. And I'm learning better moment by moment, day by day, to follow Him better because of relationship, not because of religion. Religion's actually another form of bondage. It just looks nice on the outside. But it won't get us where we want to go. It's a genuine relationship that makes all the difference. Now, next week we're going to talk about financial debt. And I want to prepare us for that because I think both of these messages are actually really hard to live out. It's hard to live in our freedom. And it's really hard to be free financially. I want you just to hear some folks who have begun to experience financial freedom as we even prepare for next week. Take a look at this video.
This is the message of the cross. That we can be free.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Carney, and I am debt free. I have no debts. Everything is free and clear. And you know, now I can use my finances and my time to be available for God.
Hi, my name is John Soldato, and after taking the Crown course, I had this urge to be free and clear of debt. So what I did was I took a car I was making payments on, and I sold my car. No more car payment. I bought a car for cash, and I took the rest of my debt, which really wasn't a lot of money. It was about $3,000, and I knocked 15% off of my interest rate. So now I'm working on getting rid of that and being totally free and clear.
My name is Catherine Tiang, and I'm co-coordinator for Crown Ministries here at Pantano Christian Church. I have approximately $20,000 in student loan debt, and I am working to be free and clear by 2010 so that I may fully serve God wherever and whenever He chooses.
You set me free when I came to the cross. Hold out
your... So I'm going to begin to prepare you for next week and some things that are coming up fairly soon that can help you to experience financial freedom. We'll talk a lot more about it next week, but coming up August 24th and 25th, Friday night, Saturday morning, we have what we call the Journey to Financial Freedom Seminar. It is a great seminar. There's an insert in your bulletin. You can fill that out, take it to the table out in the courts, and or find out more information at that table, the financial table out there, and get signed up to experience and get practical help on how to be in financial freedom. Because if you are in debt, you are in bondage, whether it's spiritually or whether it's financially. And then also, we'll have coming up very soon our Crown classes, Crown has made a huge difference in people's lives. It's a series of classes, and the orientation will be Monday the 27th at 7 p.m. in Modular E over on that side of the campus. Go to the table, sign up. It is required to go to the orientation before the Crown classes. You need to find out what's going on and what's expected and what's all involved with there. That is so worth your time if you are in bondage in a financial way. And then we've got some books that we actually used for the title of this series, Free and Clear by Howard Dayton. They're in the back for $12. If you know that you have got an issue with financial debt and you got to get serious about it, I'd encourage you to pick up that book and start reading. And then we're going to talk, of course, more about some of the same principles next week. We've been set free. This cross reminds us that we've been set free. The sins that are been nailed there just represent all of our sins that have been nailed to the cross. The debt has been canceled. He forgave all our sin. Now, if there was a spiritual bank, and if you could go online and check the account, and you know you owed $1 trillion, and you went online and it was zero, what would you do? Yahoo! You would celebrate, would you not? That's what communion is. We are celebrating. We're celebrating. When we hold that cup of juice and that bread, we are celebrating that we are free. We are free from the condemnation. We are free from the consequences. We are free to follow Jesus. And may this time of communion be an incredible celebration. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for taking our spiritual debt to zero. Thank you for not condemning us any longer. Thank you for smiling at us. Thank you for forgiving all of our sins. Thank you for canceling the debt. Thank you for sacrificing your Son, Jesus. In His name we pray. Thank you.